If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Trying to collapse the pocket as a front four and play fundamentally sound on the back end. You know, Spags usually have a heck of a game plan for us. When we play fundamentally sound and limit our mistakes and force turnovers, I think we can contain these guys. Sounds easy, but it's far from easy. These guys are dynamic. You know, they got one of the better wide receivers in this game. And Stephon Diggs, he can line up all over the place. So, you know, we got to try to make sure we know where he's at. Him and Cole Beasley, one of the best slots in the game. And try to contain those guys.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez. You know it's Thursday, January 21st, 2021. And if it's Thursday, that means Tim Grunhard is in studio. What's up, Timmy? How
That's
are you?
That's right. Good morning. What's going on, guys? How are you? You excited?
Yes, very Me excited. Too. But I'm anxious.
Anxious, huh?
Very anxious.
Nah, don't be anxious.
Well, I wanted to start. I don't want to wait.
That's one of the things the NFL's.
I don't want to wait.
The NFL is so great for so many reasons, but one of them is that you have to wait all week for the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. You do. And you know, especially after last week, you know, that Patrick Mahomes going down listen, I knew that was going to be a tough game. We talked about it last Thursday. I thought that Cleveland was going to come in here with a good game plan. They do a lot of things well that the Chiefs don't defend against very well. There's obviously the run game and some of the tight end passing and that kind of stuff. So I knew that was going to be a tough game. That was a game that really worried me more than any game in this playoff series or this playoff that we're going through right now. It's getting through that Cleveland game. I'm not as worried or as nervous about this game. Now, listen, this is a huge game. It's an AFC championship game, and there's just so much on the line. But that Cleveland team, just something about them and something about that team coming in here with some of the confidence that they had worried me. So, listen, the arrow's pointing up on the Cleveland Browns, or as I found out, the Brownies, as I was sitting in basically the Cleveland Brown family section during the game, which was just bombarded with all the barking and the Brownies and give the ball
Did
to Chubby.
Did you get into it with anyone? Did you snap back at anybody?
Whose family member was the most obnoxious?
Who is the one, the wide receiver? People something, number 11.
Donovan Peoples Jones out of Michigan.
Yeah, his family was pretty obnoxious. But you know, listen,
they were some pretty obnoxious Peoples Jones.
There were some pretty obnoxious people.
Yeah.
But you know, they were into it just like any other family member, or just like any other crowd. Base would be into it as they made the playoffs for the first time in a long, 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 long time. And they were very excited to be at Arrowhead Stadium. They weren't bad. It's just, you know, I just didn't want to listen to it.
Right.
You know, that's basically what it was. But
did you say something to somebody?
No, I didn't say anything to anybody. There's always the one guy that wants to talk to you. And I'm not sure if he knew who I was or not. But I was sitting on the end of the roll, and he was on the end of the roll across the aisle, one up. And every time I kind of look, I guess that would be east to the east end zone. It just kind of almost like I was looking at him, and he kept like looking at me to talk to me about like different things that were happening in the game. And I refused to talk to him because he was a Browns fan. And I kept telling my son, I said, CJ, I said, this guy just wants to talk to me. He wants to go through all this stuff. I don't want to talk to him. So, I mean,
Have you ever talked to him?
By the way, that was every person that's ever sat next to Nate Bucchetti during a game.
Well, yeah, and you know. And
half of my life is trying to avoid talking to someone, whether it be on the phone. Not in person so much anymore, but that's an art, Timmy, and hopefully you were able to avoid that trap.
It was a little bit challenging, but I did avoid it. I didn't want to be a jerk, but my son and I, especially CJ, you know, Colin was there, and But CJ, he's very similar to me, is when things aren't going exactly right, he gets really quiet. And that's the way I don't like talking to people, or even my, you know, family or people next to me in a game, just like you guys probably don't. I like watching a game. And then if something happens, I'll turn, you know, hey, that was, did you see that happen, Bob? But I don't want to be like small talking during,
right,
like during
right.
the breaks or the plays, because, you know, I'm trying to watch the game. And you
trying
know,
to watch just, the damn game.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is my challenge when I go to games. My wife, Sarah, she's been with me for many, many games. She knows just to kind of be quiet and not talk to me, because, you know, just like I'm sure Susan knows, your little intricacies that you have to kind of avoid. But like my, God bless her, CJ has a girlfriend that he's been dating for about a year now, and it was the first time I went to a game with her, and she kept talking to me, asking me questions, like, you know,
and
like silly questions. And I finally looked at CJ, I'm like, listen, take care of this, man.
He's like,
she's not talking to me, so this is great.
Right. Right?
Nah,
he's like, sorry,
sweet.
Dad, you're stuck with her.
Yeah. He's like, I'm getting a break this time.
Right, yeah.
It was good for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but listen, the Chiefs, you know, it's weird because, and I said this in the last couple shows too, the appetite for the Chiefs fan is not satisfied with just winning a playoff game anymore. And I think that's a great thing, but I also think that that's a lot of pressure, and it really puts a lot of just the idea of winning and carrying on as a precedent for the Chiefs. So, yeah, after the game, you know, everybody was very excited, but I want more. And we're getting more, which is great. You know, three AFC championships in a row at home. That is amazing. But the appetite for the Chiefs fan now has gotten to the point where, listen, AFC championships or Super Bowl are what we expect. And guess what? With Patrick Mahomes, our appetites can be satisfied.
Did you ever think
no.
in your lifetime no. that we'd be here
no.
to where that
no,
statement,
no,
what you
no,
just made
no,
is true, no. that Chiefs fans aren't satisfied with just winning in the divisional round? Timmy, I'd have given something. I don't know what I was getting ready to say. My left something, but I don't know about that now in retrospect. There were times that I would have given up. I would have done quite a few things to see the Chiefs win in the divisional round, and I know you feel the same way. Isn't that amazing that that's where we are now?
It is amazing. But when you do have a quarterback, I want to thank the Buffalo Bills for trading that that draft pick to the Chiefs. I want to thank them for letting us move up into their spot, the 10th
That's
spot.
Right.
So we do owe the Buffalo Bills for that nice move that they let us go and get a guy that gives us the opportunity for the next at least 10 years, have the opportunity to go to AFC championships.
That is awesome.
To play AFC championships games at home and to go to Super Bowls. And that is, I think the Kansas City Chiefs fan deserves it. I think they earned it. I think this is a great, great fan base, one of the best fan bases. And, you know, we've gone through what Cleveland's gone through. We've gone through what Buffalo's gone through. We've gone through what some of these dry spells. And we are now at a point where we can drink from the cup of success in the NFL, and that's because Patrick Mahomes has filled it up. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with him a little bit later if you guys want to. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you have those two. You have that combination. Then you're going to have many, many of these opportunities. And that's all it is. You got to get invited to the dance. You know, that's what we say, hey, let's get invited to the dance and make the playoffs. I think they're always going to do that with Patrick Mahomes. And once you get to the dance, whoever's the best quarterback, who has the prettiest girl, the prettiest partner to dance with, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
We've got Tim Grenhard in studio back after this on WHB.
It looks like they're healthy. I mean, they were missing a couple guys at that time and key guys. And so I think that they've got everybody back and they're playing at a high level. I mean, they've reeled off quite a few games here in a row of victories. And like I said, they're well coached and they're a good player. So, Herbie, they're playing good football right now.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I want to remind everyone that this weekend we'll be airing both the NFC and AFC championship games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, Timmy, how about this? The NFC championship game will be called by Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Laura Oakman. That'll be obviously game one on Sunday, Tampa at Green Bay. And then the AFC Championship game will feature the broadcast crew of Ian Eagle, Tony Baselli, and Ross Tucker. And so that will be both games heard right here on Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Timmy, you want to talk about Patrick Mahomes? That's what everyone wants to hear about. Tell us what you know and what you think about Patrick Mahomes II and his injury issues, including that big toe.
Yeah, I think the big toe is more of a concern than anything else. And I do think that they'll probably numb it or medicate it a little bit, whether that's with some topical or even a shot in it to take away some of the pain. A lot of people do say that, you know, when you shoot up or you numb a big toe, it takes a little of your balance away, which I'll buy that. I've had that done before. I didn't feel like I had a lot of issues with that, but I was an offensive lineman and not a quarterback. So, you know, some of the stuff that he does with his feet, obviously you got to have the proper feel in order to be successful. We did have Justin Hoover on last night from Spinnet Quarterback Academy, and he talked a little bit about, you know, some of the adjustments that Patrick Mahomes can make in this game if his toe is sore and he's limping around. And, you know, a lot of it's, you know, throwing more with your hip, which I really don't understand. There's so many little things that quarterbacks do and can do in order to supplement power. Whether it's throwing with his hip or you know, balancing off a different part of your foot or using more of your shoulder or your arm release slot, whatever it is. So I'm sure that Patrick Mahomes has done this and has been in this position before. So the toe does concern me, and I'm hoping that they will be very, very conservative with him in the running game this week, like no runs at all. Unless he has to run,
no design runs,
but last night Frank and I were talking about this, and Frank's like, "There's no way he's going to run the ball." And I'm like, "Well, the Bills are probably thinking the same thing. So what are Andy Reid going to do? Probably run the ball with him." But I hope not. But Patrick Mahomes, as far as going through the concussion protocol, you know, I don't think, you know, concussions, you never know what you're going to get. They're the box of chocolates of injuries. You know, you can have a concussion that all of a sudden flares up a couple of days later. You can have a concussion that feels horrible the first day, and then the next couple of days you feel great. The thing that concerns me the most about concussions and concussion protocols, number one, is that you have to be passed by a doctor that's not part of the organization, which is a good thing. But the concern is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes could feel great on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but wake up this morning and have a headache, and he goes back to stage one. He goes back to the start of the whole process. I don't expect that to happen, but that is a possibility. So you have to be so careful with concussions. And he's going through practice, and I heard Andy Reid say, but you got to remember Andy Reid said he was a full participant. Remember, on Wednesdays, especially this time of the year, there's no contact. They're basically running around in just helmets. So if he did everything, that's basically, you know, just kind of easy practice schedule, easy practice tempo. So I don't think Andy was trying to cover anything up and or slipped. I just think that's kind of what they think when they go through a Wednesday practice. It's not really particularly practice, if that makes any sense.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.
Yeah, you know, when Chad was in the game, we didn't have to really change much. So that was a plus. So we've kind of, we're just leaving it the way we do. Chad's comfortable with it. And, you know, he feels that he can handle that if needed. So I think, you know, that's all well there.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. We have Tim Grunhard in studio. Timmy, is there anything else you'd like to say about Patrick Mahomes and his situation before we move on and talk about the AFC Championship game?
I think that Patrick's going to be fine. He's going to play in the game. Obviously, I think that the toe is going to be an issue that he's going to have to deal with. But I think he'll make adjustments. But it's good news that, listen, they got him over there right away on Monday morning, and they did probably some of the computerized testing that they do, and I can't remember what they call that now, that, you know, each player goes in before the season and they have
baseline test.
As soon as popped in my mind, the baseline test. He probably went through that and then had some stretching, some other stuff that he could do on Monday, which was the first part of the protocol, and then Tuesday worked through another part of the protocol, and Wednesday, yesterday, it looked like that he was able to take a big step in that protocol and do some things. And because there was no headaches or no blurred vision or nothing like that, no symptoms, then he can go on and go to the next step, which will be today. I would expect him to be out there doing basically what he did yesterday, today, probably not any more, not any less. And then Friday, you know, kind of the haze in the barn. And Saturday, you go over there and you put the icing on the cake, all those little platitudes and all those little sayings. And then you go play the football game. And it's nice that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to get in an airplane and fly. And that's another thing that with concussions, you know, sometimes you get up into the rare air up there, and you get up in altitude, and it could give you headaches and affect your concussion if you do have one or you had one. So it's good that he doesn't have to do that, because you get up in an airplane, and with the pressure and everything else, next thing you know, you come off, you have a headache, and bam, you might be out. So you don't have to deal with that either. So Patrick Mahomes, but you know, Chad Henne stepped up. You know, he made some plays. He did what he had to do. Good for Chad. But Patrick Mahomes is the guy that has to be playing in order for the Chiefs to win. I think the Chiefs can win with Chad Henne. But will they win with Chad Henne? It'd be 60-40 the Bills over the Chiefs if Chad Henne started. So with Patrick Mahomes, that thing swings exponentially to 80-20, 70-30. So Patrick Mahomes is the linchpin. He's the key, and let's hope that he's healthy, and it looks like he is.
Okay, I heard Todd say this last night on our Red Zone special. Every night at 7 o'clock this week, you can listen to Todd Lebo at 7 o'clock, Timmy, if you're looking for something.
Let's do it last night on the way home from crunch time. Yeah.
Now, maybe Todd... And maybe I'm misrepresenting him. I kind of hope I am, but I don't think so. He was talking about how good the roster is, and the roster doesn't get enough credit because Mahomes gets most of the credit. But he said that I thought that he said that this team would still be a playoff team, not a Super Bowl contender, but still a playoff team if Chad Henne was the quarterback all season long. Do you believe that? Is the roster that good?
Yeah, I do. I think Tyreek Hill is one of the elite route runners in the league with speed and great hands. He just makes plays all over the place. I think Mecole Hardman, when he gets the ball in his hand, is explosive and can do things. Travis Kelce may be the best tight end in the history of the NFL. And once again, another 100-yard game for him. I think between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, they had over 200 yards receiving, and I mean, that's huge. I do like the running back situation with Williams. I thought he ran the ball very, very well, and I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he's healthy, will add to that. So, here's the thing that is going to be really interesting to see when you watch this game, and I think it's gonna show in the first quarter of the game. The Bills' last game in Week 6, they blitzed the Chiefs 0 times. I mean, that's almost unheard of. I mean, even if you mess up and you blitz once, like you don't get the call in, or a guy decides he's going to do something, you know, out of the ordinary, and the linebacker will see the back is in, and he'll just green dog and come. That it's so unusual to have 0 blitzes. They played 6 to 6 guys in the box, and at times it was 5.5 guys in the box, when with the guy on the edge kind of playing kind of half in and half out of the box so he could be there to support the run, but mostly worried about the pass. You'll see, I don't think that they're going to do that this week. I think they're going to bring pressure on the Chiefs. I think, you know, when you watch film as a NFL player, so if I was playing against the Bills this week, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'd be watching the hell out of that game, week six game, because number one, I want to see how they line up against our formations. Number two, I want to see if I can find some tendencies. You know, if I want to see if the linebacker, if he lines up in this spot, what does that defensive lineman do? I want to look at the feet of the defensive lineman, the feet of the guy I'm playing against. If they're square, that means he's probably going to twist or stunt or shoot sideways. If they're staggered, then he's probably going to try to shoot the gap. So I'm going to look for little things like that. And I'm going to also, you know, see how I matched up against the guy that we played against. What do I have to do better? What are the things that are going to give me an opportunity to have a little bit more success than we did last time? But with that, you don't see any kind of pressure or any blitz package. So if I was the Bills, and, you know, listen, we all understand that Patrick Mahomes was really good against the blitz, but they still won the game. The Chiefs still won the game when they didn't blitz at all. So I'm thinking that you're going to see a lot more pressure from the Bills this week, which I think falls into the trap that the Chiefs like to set for teams, because I think Patrick Mahomes does a great job of blitzing. But when you say you're going to blitz, that means that you have to play more man. The Bills played basically a cover two shell. I mean, cover four, cover two, a little bit of cover three, but they dropped everybody into zones to cause traffic issues against the Chiefs, and they said, we dare you to run the ball. I don't think they're going to do that this week. And so it's going to be different, and I think we'll be able to see. So if you watch and you see a safety up in the box, which brings seven guys up in the box, or you see a corner coming off the edge and blitzing in the first quarter, you're going to see that they're doing something different that they didn't do last time, because they are going to try to give the Chiefs different looks so that they can't feel comfortable in their protection and in a lot of the schemes that they're trying to run.
We have Tim Grenhardt in studio. Okay, Timmy, you mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the huge day he had against Buffalo the first time around. Besides Patrick Mahomes, there are four players that were listed as limited participants yesterday in practice on the injury report. And so I asked Nate and Jake this earlier. I'd like to get your opinion on this. These four players that are limited participants, based on what the needs are against the Buffalo Bills in an effort to win this game and advance to the Super Bowl again. Tell me the order of importance as far as players returning for this game against Buffalo, in your opinion, between Bashaud Breeland, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Sammy Watkins, and Rashad Fenton. Put those in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, as far as order of importance for them to return against Buffalo for the Chiefs.
Well, you just did it for me. That is exact order that I would put it. I think Rashad Breeland obviously is a guy that you need against the wide receivers of the Buffalo Bills in the passing game of Josh Allen. You need your corner in there. I like Fenton, but I do think that, you know, you can get away with having Matthew and Sorensen and, oh, I'm drawing a blank on the guy that Snead and Breeland in there. I think you could be okay and with those guys back there. And then obviously Thornhill. I think you're fine with that group of guys. So Breeland is very, very important. Fenton, I want him out there. I want all four of those guys out there. I think that he would be the least important as you go into this game. They have to have some sort of running game against Buffalo. And I thought that Darrell Williams did a really nice job of running hard, running physical, and bringing a little bit of toughness and some juice to that offense last week. But they need that big play strike ability, and that's what Helaire brings to this offense. And I just have a weird feeling that Andy Reid held some of his cards, you know, tight against his chest with Helaire this year. I just have a weird feeling if he's healthy and he's able to do it, I think you're going to see him catch the ball at least 10 times in this game.
Wow.
I have a weird feeling because they're going to be playing a lot of man, right? This is just my guess here. I think the Bills are going to bring some pressure. So if you bring pressure, you got to bring man. All right, you got to play man. So now you have a linebacker on Alaire, and there's no body of work that says that a linebacker can't cover Alaire right now because he hadn't caught that many passes out of the backfield, and they kind of forgot about it. So I think you're going to see him catching a bunch of plays. I think you see a lot of screens. I think you're going to see a lot of balls thrown out in the flat. I think you're going to see him involved in the passing game because they're going to have a linebacker having to cover him, and that's a mismatch the Chiefs will take advantage of. So Alaire, to me, is very, very important. Plus, you know, when he gets the ball in his hand, he can go the distance, all right, if he's healthy, obviously. Williams, I love the guy, and he just reminds me of one of those big backs, the Tony Richardson types, that he's going to get you 6-7 yards a pound. But that big strike ability is just not there with him. So the Chiefs need to score. They have to put some points on the board. If they score 21 in this game, they lose. They've got to score over 31 to 35 points in order to win this game. They got to get over 30 points to win this game. So how are you going to get those points? Well, you know, you're going to have Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is going to score a touchdown. He always does. So count one for him, right? Tyreek Hill, he needs to pick up. He needs to, and he will. And whether it's through the run or whether it's through the pass, they're going to get the ball in his hands and he'll score. Okay, so there's two. You know, you're going to get one from, the combination of Pringle, the combination of Robinson. You're going to get one from the other guys. Maybe Sammy Watkins, if he's healthy, you're going to get one from the other guys. All right? But you got to find some more. You got to find a couple from the running back position, whether it's in short yardage and goal line, which they've struggled with in the red zone. The Chiefs have sucked in the red zone. Okay? I'm just going to put that out there right now. Nobody wants to talk about it, but they have sucked in the red zone. And I don't know why. Whether they don't trust,
talk about it.
Whether they don't trust the offensive line to pound inside the 5-yard line, or they try to get tricky, and they try to do all these different things, and you know that's Andy Reid's fun time that he puts together all these different little like tricky plays to run down there, and it's fun for him. He gets his enjoyment out of that. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But, you know, you got the double passes. You got, you know, all this movement. You got Kelce playing quarterback, blah, 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 this and that. But they have got to find ways to score 6 in the red zone. If they do not score 6 in the red zone consistently this game, it's going to be a tough one to win. And I promise you, if they get to the Super Bowl, and I think it's going to be against Green Bay, but even if it's against Tampa Bay, you got to score 6 in the red zone in order to win that game, because there's going to be some points put up in that game. So the red zone is important. The Chiefs right now are 15th or 16th in the red zone when they should be in the top 10. They are like 59% in the red zone. You're missing field goals. You're missing extra points. You can't be doing those kind of things. So they got to find 2 from those running backs. And I like Alaire scoring a couple touchdowns if he's healthy. And I like Williams scoring touchdowns if they give it to him inside the 5-yard line. He could pound it in there. So they're going to have to find it. So they're going to have to find, you know, 31, 35, 42 points. Where do you find it from? Maybe you get a couple from Travis Kelce. You know, maybe you get a couple from Tyreek Hill, but that's 28. All right. So you have to find some more. You got to score over 30 in this game to win, because Josh Allen and that team is going to score points. They are. I hate to tell you guys that. But when you get to the AFC Championship game, you're not playing a bunch of chumps. All right? You're playing a really good football team that's won a lot of football games and knows how to win and can score points. Listen, the Chiefs are ranked right now in scoring offense. I think they're ranked 1. And I believe Buffalo is either ranked 2 or 4. They're like right up there in the top 5, too. Mm-hmm. So they're going to score. I think they probably ranked 2. I think they're ranked 2. I think the 1 and 2 ranked offenses are basically going against each other. So you got to score points. You got to find those points. And that's why I think Patrick Alaire is important. Sammy Watkins is important because you just don't have that third option in the passing game right now. You look for Tyreek Hill, and if he's covered, and you look for Travis Kelce, and, you know, most of the time you can get that. It's hard to cover both of them. But it'd be nice to have a third option, a consistent third option. And that's what Watkins was last year in a playoff run, and that's who they need again.
Well, you talked about the screen game and the swing passes and maybe wide receiver screens as well. Andy Reid always wants wide receivers that can block. And I feel like D-Rob's a pretty good blocking wide receiver. But what about, I mean, we can talk all we want about Sammy Watkins and what he brings as a receiver, but what about his ability as a blocking receiver? How important do you think that is to have? I feel like that's one of his real strengths as well.
Yeah, he takes a lot of pride in it, and he's really good at staying in front of guys. And then that's really all you have to do out at the wide receiver position. If you watch him, he's got really good feet. And, you know, obviously he's been injured a lot, but he's got really good feet. And if you can keep your feet wide, you know, the biggest problem that wide receivers have when they go out in blocking in space is they get their feet put tight together and they get off balance and the guys shed them or they miss. He does a really you watch him when he gets out into space, when he gets out into blocking, his feet are wide, he's in a good football position, and he's able to stay in front of guys. You don't have to be punishing anybody out there. You just stay in front of them. I mean, really. Yeah. You watch a good wide receiver, they got good feet, a good wide receiver blocking, they got good feet, they're in a good position, and they're in front of them. And they're basically shadow boxing them. They're just kind of staying in front of them, and all you gotta do is get that guy to kind of go around you instead of through you. And you're going to have success on the edge with your wide receiver blocking. And I want to say that again. With a wide receiver, I don't care what level you're at, if you're coaching wide receivers, tell them to get themselves in a good football position, have their feet wide, and have a guy have to go around you in order to make the play and not through you. When I say through you, that means that your feet are together and he can shed you, or your feet are together and he can knock you back into the wide receiver that's running the ball, and or the tight end, and or the running back that's you're blocking for, you have to get them to divert their path to the ball carrier, and that's all that Sammy Watkins does, and he does a very good job of it.
Tim Grenhard is in studio with us, talking about the AFC Championship game coming up on Sunday. You can hear it right here.
Let that sink
on
in.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's that?
Let that sink in a little bit. We've been able to say that now for 3 years in a row at home. We are getting ready for the AFC Championship game. Now, remember, the Bills haven't been in the AFC Championship game since they beat the Chiefs in 1994 when I was in the AFC Championship game. The AFC Championship game, even though we lost, I mean, there's just something special about that game. You are playing for the championship of the AFC. I mean, that's pretty simple, but it's a great honor, and you are just a heartbeat away from going to a Super Bowl. And that's what we asked for. And that's what, when Andy Reid was signed here as a coach, and the Chiefs moved up in the draft, and Stephen St. John jumped off the stage over at the indoor facility, when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, that's what we set up for, and it's here. I just want to let everybody know that whether you're staying at home to watch the game or whether you're lucky enough to go out there to watch the game, take it all in, because, you know, I think with Patrick Mahomes, we have many opportunities more, but life goes fast, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and all those guys, you know, eventually we'll be gone, and we will be sitting here saying, gosh, you remember those days when we had all those AFC Championship games? Don't you wish we had that back? Well, it's here now. I always tell people, and Jake, you're a golfer. You go out and you play Pebble Beach, or you play in one of those courses, you're so worried about playing the golf, you're so worried about, you know, hitting the ball right, that you don't know where the hell you're at. You don't look around. How many times do you look around? You know, and you're walking up 18 at Pebble Beach. Look around, man. You're at 18 at Pebble Beach, or you're at 17 at Pebble Beach, or you're at 10 at Pebble Beach. Yeah, look around. Any golf course, you know, it's a beautiful place. Go look around.
Yeah.
You're so focused on what you're doing that you forget about where you're at.
I played the ocean course at Kiawah Island.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we did the PGA Championship. They had a Ryder Cup there, and it took you about four holes, and you're like, wait.
They played
championships on this course,
and also just the ocean is all
right
around me.
Yeah. I mean, you're on an island, you know, you're around the ocean, right?
So it's so, like, yeah. So look
the way you describe that, you know what, that when I feel like that, when I have to really stop and appreciate where I am, and I can't believe where I am, and it means so much, and I'm so lucky. I feel that way when I'm in my wife's arms.
Oh, wow.
Wow. She must be right there right now.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Sue, were you listening, Sue? Are you listening on the app?
No, but you know what?
Turn it on!
It's the same thing with kids. When you're when you're raising kids, you know what? Enjoy those. And I tell Nate all the time, man, enjoy these times because, you know, the relationships are different and they're all great relationships, but they're different. You know, so enjoy the time. So without being too sappy, we're in the AFC Championship.
You guys need to see the movie Soul if you haven't seen it already.
I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it, Steven?
We've scheduled it, but I finally, I have not had Disney Plus until last week. So we got it now, and we're good to go.
What you guys are talking about right now is what the movie's about. It's about, like, you know, why
about
is
the
life...
the Chiefs and the NFC Championship?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Wow,
it's about Mahomes.
It right now.
It's about
watch
concussion protocol.
I can't wait to watch that.
It's about anything is possible?
Hey, Andy Reid, run the dang ball. No,
why are
you just now telling us this?
It's about why is life worth it? You know, why is...
That is awesome.
What are the things, and are we appreciating all of the amazing things that happen around us on a daily basis, or are we so focused in on what we're doing with our life or a hobby or what we're stressed out about or staring at these damn phones all the time?
Yeah.
And they call it the lost souls. You know, you're a lost soul if you're just staring at your phone all day and you're not appreciating the wonder that is around you at all times. And that,
hey, could you repeat that? I was looking at my phone.
What? What'd you say?
I apologize. I kind of lost.
I'm sorry even brought this up.
Timmy, you, Stephen, and I probably have the same conversation with our kids a little bit about this. Your boys are old enough to understand the perspective, Stephen, but my kids are not old enough to understand how special what they're watching is.
Yeah.
But I think we all can be guilty. I think it's a theme that we've had on this show for a long time this year, when the hand wringing over all these close games the Chiefs have played this year, which is how quickly we forget that all we wanted was to see the Chiefs in an AFC Championship game. You know, all we wanted was to see this team win a stinking playoff game. And it doesn't take long at all to change the expectation to, man, if they don't win the AFC Championship game, this whole season's a disappointment. And I understand that, and this team is good enough to have earned those expectations, but you have to keep that perspective and enjoy, like, this entire week.
Yeah.
This entire week of getting to know that your team is hosting the AFC Championship game, because isn't this the first time in NFL history that a team's hosted the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row?
I think Philly did it.
The Eagles did it with Andy Reid in the NFC.
Yeah.
First time in the AFC.
First time AFC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it just you have to. If you don't appreciate that, then you're gonna be miserable as a sports fan.
Hey, you know what? See Philadelphia. All right, call a Philly person right now and ask them about those three AFC championships in a row. And did you enjoy those? And would you like to have those back? And I need to learn that. And I'm kind of talking to myself because I left the Chiefs game after that Cleveland game, and I'm the one that said that. Listen, this is not going to be an easy game. The Chiefs are going to struggle in this game. They're just barely going to win, and they just barely won. And I'm like, oh, that kind of sucked.
I tell you what,
and I'm like, what am I saying to myself? I called this. They won. They're in the AFC Championship game, and I'm sitting here pouting. My mom, God bless her, she calls. Wasn't that a great game? I'm like, no. No,
stressful.
It wasn't. It
yes,
wasn't a
it
great
was.
Game, but it was.
Of course, it was.
What's wrong with us? Wake up, Kansas City. We're in the AFC Championship game. I'll never forget. In 1993-94, when we lost that AFC Championship game, I was living in Lee's Summit. I was driving down 291 Highway, and there was a tire place that used to be right off of Lee's Summit Road or Nolan Road, whatever road the over there was. And they painted the whole thing "Go Chiefs" in red. They painted the whole. It was a Goodyear place, and they painted the whole thing "Go Chiefs" in red. Super Bowl champs or something coming up, and I was just so excited, and I was like, "Wow, that is just so cool." And I don't know why that just popped into my brain, but you know that's how long ago this was. I mean, that we're in the midst of an unbelievable period of Kansas City Chief football where Stephen St. John doesn't have to throw the TV down and get slapped by his mother.
Hey, Timmy, when you guys played in that AFC Championship game, I was wearing a sweatshirt that I bought at the city market, and it said, Buck Buffalo.
Yeah, don't you wish you still had it? Don't you wish you still had that?
I do. Yeah, I was so happy. I bought a hoodie down at the city market and it said Buck Buffalo. And let me tell you something. I put that on. and I'm just walking around the city market. Yep. I'm strutting around. Like,
you're so happy.
How about this shirt? And I was really proud of that shirt.
Yeah, retrospect. About it.
Should I have been? Was that? That's a good.
Yeah,
is that,
you
was that a good
you
shirt?
Should still have.
You should
that
be mad
shirt.
That you don't have it right now.
I know.
Right. I'd like to have it. Does anyone else have a bucked buffalo shirt?
You know what? I don't have that, but I. Paul Hackett was the offensive coordinator at that time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I have his starter jacket from that season.
Do you really?
I do. And it's got
does
his
it say
initials.
Buck Buffalo?
Hey, no, but it says
don't wear it.
It says PH. No, I exercised the demons by wearing it to the playoff game that the Chiefs won.
Okay,
so it's like a good luck charm now.
All right,
but yes, it's that's
I feel
my
like a young Jake would have really been excited about a Buck Buffalo shirt.
Old Jake is excited about that. I'm trying to get this thing made by Sunday.
Can we put that on the 810 fan shop that we've got? We got all this other stuff.
Sure,
can we make one of those?
I'm trying to make a hoodie. I want a hoodie.
How quickly
with that on
can
it.
We turn that around?
So I have
no.
My,
it was a hoodie.
I want a big hoodie with that.
I have my AFC Championship white jersey from that game had a nifty little pocket in the front of the jersey so I could put my hands in there.
Oh, hand warmer.
As a center, a hand warmer in front. which you would think was cool, but because of the hand warmer, I looked like I was like the biggest fat ass on the whole field.
Because right?
It kind of held over, which I probably was. But, you know, I have that, so I look at that, I'm never wearing that thing again. Maybe I can exercise the demons of that.
Get that thing framed.
Now I could put like my burger in there, or maybe a beer in there, yep. Or a Coke.
Where's Sunday?
You've lost that. I bet that thing looks great on you now.
No, I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in that thing.
Yeah, well.
I was all white.
Those jerseys weren't quite as tight fitting back in those days, were they?
They were pretty tight,
they were pretty tight. Well, they're different. We used to tape them down. The tape underneath it. And you would tape it down so it would stick to you. But then when it got really cold.
The shoulders and the sleeves are way shorter.
They're way shorter. And and you had your armpit hanging out, and it was all red. And
chafed,
and it was ugly. It was not a fashion statement, that's for sure.
We're certainly giving the listeners a lot to think about during this commercial break. Let's move on, and we'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We're not going to change who we are. Like I said, it's obviously the biggest game, like I said, because it's the next one, but we understand that we don't have to be anyone different than who we are. And if we can go out there and execute and play the game the right way and trust each other and play complementary football, odds are the results are going to be pretty good.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Remember, Chiefs Kingdom, it's time to get ready for all the big games this weekend. You could start off the day right by picking up the limited edition Patrick Mahomes cereal, Mahomes Magic Crunch, then feed your hungry team with a perfect party tray, burgers, brats, wings, and ready-to-bake pizza. No time to prepare?
Awesome.
Well, let Hy-Vee quarterback your party with full-service catering, home delivery, and setup. Elevate. Happy birthday, baby. I love you. Happy birthday, girls. Elevate your home gate at Hy-Vee, the official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
How are you doing?
And we are going to give something away right now. And hey, look, and what a weekend, too. You got the big games on Sunday. And Conor McGregor is returning to the Octagon on Saturday night. And so have a watch party on both days for yourself. And to help that, we will give you a box of Mahomes Magic Crunch cereal and a $25 gift card to Hy-Vee
to
the first caller at 913-3810-810 that will answer this question. And this is a question from the 6 o'clock hour earlier. The last time the Chiefs played the Bills, they beat them 26-17. Who was the leading receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs on that fine day? Who had the most receiving yards that day? I'll give you one hint. He had 69.
Let me ask you the question.
So who was the first person to call in? 913-3810-810. Answer the question correctly.
Let me ask
you'll
you the question.
Box of Mahomes Magic Crunch and a $25 gift card to Hy-Vee. Now, Tim Grunhard, you heard Josh Allen are talking when we returned from the commercial break. So I want to ask you specifically about the Bills quarterback. The first time around, and I know it was inclement weather, but he was 14-27 for 122 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. And then, Timmy, this game against the Ravens, it was 17-3, but that game was 10-3, and the Ravens should have scored a touchdown on the previous play. Then the next play, Lamar Jackson throws the interception that is returned 101 yards for a touchdown, game over, and then Jackson was knocked out of the game. And so what should have been, at the very least, a 10-6 game or a 10-10 game immediately became a 17-3 game, and that was it. It was over. But when you look at the offensive numbers Buffalo put up, Josh Allen, 23-37 for 206 yards, one touchdown. They only ran the ball 16 times for 32 yards. In fact, when you look at the total numbers, Baltimore outgained them 340 to 220. And so this was not and the Bills, they had to, I mean, look, the Colts, if they didn't make so many mistakes, they could have beat the Bills. So it's not like the Bills have looked like this unbeatable juggernaut in the first two playoff games. They've won. But the offense did not look great against the Ravens, Tim Grunhard. Can the Chiefs do anything that the Ravens did to try to slow this Buffalo Bills offense down?
Yeah, you know, I agree with everything you said. And I think, listen, the Bills fans and the people around the NFL, once again, I think that, hey, listen, they've won their playoff games. And that's important, obviously. But they have not looked good. The Colts probably should have and could have come back and won that game, and they didn't. They had the ball at the very end to go in to score, and they didn't score, I think, that in order to win the game. If not, they had it within, you know, 4 or 5 minutes left in the game to go in and score, and they didn't. And then if you look at the Ravens-Bills game, the Bills defense scored the key touchdown, that interception for 101 yards, whatever it was, to go up 17-3, unless it was a one-score game. They only had 10 points offensively. So Josh Allen, is as good as Josh Allen's played in the regular season, I still think that he hasn't quite proved himself in the postseason. And postseason football is a little bit different than regular season football. Now, he's going to have an opportunity to prove himself in this game, and I'm not saying that he can't, but he has not. If you look at last year, he struggled in the playoffs, and this year they basically put up 10 points against the Ravens, and they struggled to beat the Colts. So, you know, Josh Allen, they have it. They've gone completely against away from the run. Singletary, I think he had, I don't know, what, 30 yards or something rushing in that game. I don't think he ran the ball until the second quarter or maybe even the third quarter. I know the first quarter he didn't run the ball at all. They won the game. The Bills won the game, but you know they haven't been playing on all cylinders per se. So what do the Chiefs have to do? They have to stop Diggs. Okay, now how do they do that? I think you put the honey badger on him, and he, if you watched the juice that he brings to that defense, that was a good thing about going to that game. I'm not really thrilled with going to football games anymore. Maybe I'm spoiled because I like sitting and watching it on my big screen and put my feet up and watching it. But the one thing I love to watch is kind of the dynamics of what's going on the sideline or between plays. And if you watch Tyron between plays, I mean, he has so much juice, and he is – And there's a difference with being a jackass, and there's a difference between being, you know, over the top and being a guy that is getting his team going and letting the other team know that, hey, listen, you are not getting anything on us. And that's what he does. I mean, he, after every tackle he makes, he's jabbering a little bit at the wide receiver, or he's talking to the offensive line, or he's talking to the quarterback. And, you know, he's bringing that juice that that defense needs. And in this time of the year, it's so important to have a guy like that that can bring the energy and bring the juice to your defense. So I think that you're going to see, it's going to be a matchup of wills between Diggs and Matthew. And I'll take Matthew every day on that combination.
Stephon Diggs was targeted 8 times in the first game. He had 6 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. The touchdown catch was an amazing catch on the side of the end zone where he was just able to get 2 feet in bounds. And Javarius Ward was on the coverage on that play. But Bashaud Breeland had a lot of pass defenses against Diggs as well and did a really good job. So we go back to, you know, the fact that Bashaud Breeland's a really important guy to get healthy, because I think he did a really good job against Diggs the last time around. When you talk about Honey Badger and the juice that he brings, I wanted to ask you about Chris Jones because we heard from him at the beginning of the hour. Jake played a soundbite from him. I felt like in that crucial defensive stop that the Chiefs had against the Browns, in the Browns' last possession of the game, he made a couple of enormous plays. And what was ringing in my ears when I watched that was last year after the Super Bowl, Brett Veach said about Sammy Watkins, look, everybody's focused on his regular season production. We didn't pay him all that money to put up numbers in the regular season. We paid him that money to win a championship. And what I took from that was there are certain guys that have the physical ability to rise to the occasion when the best of the best are out on the field and when you need it most. Is that what Chris Jones did in that situation?
Absolutely. And I noticed that too. You're exactly right. I know it's really, really hard to bring that kind of energy and that kind of juice consistently on the defensive line. You very rarely see that. I think you can probably look at our guy from the Rams. I'm drawing a blank.
Aaron Donald.
Maybe Aaron Donald does a little bit of that. But it's really, really hard to do that. That's why you have to have a guy like a safety or a linebacker that kind of has that juice and brings out juice. But you're exactly right. When it comes down to crunch time and it comes down to you got to make plays, he finds another gear. And he did that in that game. So you're exactly right. But if you want to get back to the Buffalo offense, listen, everybody knows Stephon Diggs is their playmaker. All right, their running back situation with Yeldon and Singletary very average, but they have guys that are, I call them the little gnats that just are flying around, just driving you crazy. You know, you're trying to push them away. Cole Beasley is a gnat.
Yep.
Cole Beasley worries the hell out of me. Yeah, Stephon Diggs is going to get his plays, right? And he's going to make some amazing plays. But when it comes down to those little annoying third down and four completions that extend drives, or even fourth down and two or three extend drives, see Cole Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy that will drive us crazy in this game. Mark it down.
That's the job of L'Jarius Sneed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the slot.
Yep, and Cole Beasley he's not the flashiest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He is a little bit of our guy from New England,
Wes Welker.
Wes Welker and those kind of guys. Edelman, he's that, and he does a really good job of that. John Brown's a nice little wide receiver that they picked up from Baltimore.
Beasley's 5'8", 174 pounds.
Yeah, so. When you, the gnat effect of the little bug that drives around, it's in your ear and you're just trying to get it away from you and it's just driving you crazy, you see Cole Beasley. That's the guy that the Chiefs are going to have to slow down. They're going to have to contain and they're going to have to walk. Because Stephon Diggs, he's going to get his. He's going to have, you know, between 8 and 10 targets. He's probably going to have, you know, 6 or 7 catches, probably have, you know, maybe 1 touchdown, hopefully not 2. But guys like Beasley are the guys that are just going to drive you crazy with completions to extend drives, you know, doing all those little catches, those crazy little catches that, you know, that just bug you. And just kind of like what happened last week with Cleveland. And it wasn't one particular guy in Cleveland, but how many times you like, you know, the Chiefs had a 3rd down and 6, a 3rd down and 5, or even 4th down, and they had those little completions to extend the drives. And it's like, oh. They're just like little paper cuts, little slices that eventually could kill you, and that's what Cole Beasley brings. So, in this game, I'm not particularly worried about the defense of Buffalo. There's nobody on that defense that scares the hell out of me per se, but you know I like Mitch Morris. I think he's a hell of a center. I think he's a great leader, even though our guy. Jones didn't know he was on the team, which was interesting. But you know, you look at Diggs, Beasley, you look at Brown, and they have a combination of some tight ends that are decent. Those are the guys. So it's going to be offense against offense. Who could score the most points? The Chiefs win this game. I got them like 31-28 in that area, 35-28. But I think they score a bunch. I think this is a nail biter. If you like really exciting football that comes down to the end, If it comes down to the end and you have Patrick Mahomes in a two-minute situation to win the game, or Josh Allen in a two-minute situation to win the game, see Kansas City Chiefs going on to the Super Bowl, because Josh Allen still hasn't proven that he can do that consistently. Patrick Mahomes has. So once again, it's, and I'll kind of start where I end, where I'll end where I started. In the playoffs, you got to get invited to the dance, and then who has the best looking dance partner, and that dance partner is your quarterback, and the best quarterback usually wins. So that's why this playoff is so exciting, because you have four quarterbacks that could take over games. This is the NFL front office is just, they are just so happy and fired up about these matchups. You have Aaron Rodgers and you have Tom Brady, two classic great quarterbacks, and you have two young quarterbacks that are up and coming, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. You can't ask for better matchups. It's going to be a great weekend of football. Let's enjoy it. And let's come back next week and talk about the matchup of the Chiefs against the Green Bay Packers in a rematch of Super Bowl I.
I need scores. Baby. I need scores for both games. Scores for both games.
I think Chiefs, once again, I'm going to say 35-28, right around that area. I think Green Bay, 28-14. Green Bay wins that game fairly easily over Tampa. But, you know, you just can't overlook Tom Brady. Tom Brady just finds, he's such a competitor and he's such a winner that there's no reason why he should win that game. There's no reason why he could win that game, but he wins those games. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was the other way around. But I think Green Bay is a much better football team.
Thank you, Timmy. We'll talk to you next week.
I can't wait.
That is Tim Grunhard. We'll be back after this with Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.